Thank you for today. God, thank you for every person in this room. God, thank you for the Blues winning Stanley Cup. I pray that you bless this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so the last couple weeks, I've been on this this journey. I'm going to talk more about it in the next couple months. But this journey of correction, this journey of rebuke, and it's brought me back to a couple different stories from my childhood. Believe it or not, when I was in seventh grade, I had a teacher, and he carried around a paddle. Okay? Similar to this. This is a field hockey stick, but similar to this. And he would just carry around. He's a shop teacher. And he would just carry around this paddle. It was a big paddle, had drill holes. You know, he drilled holes in it. And this was his rule. His rule was, if you're late to my class, you get a swat in front of the whole school or the hallway, or you have to write sentences, 200 sentences. And so kids like under 25 right now are like, or even 30, they're like, what? They carried a paddle? What are you talking about? And I, being the, as many of you have said, I bet you were a little turd when you were a kid, weren't you? I'm going to give you a couple stories in a second just to confirm that, okay? And my mom has said that there's only one time in my life that I've been late, and that was when I was born. I was due in the middle of May. I was born June 5th, and because 15 minutes early is late, okay? Some of you'll get that later. Anyway, so this teacher, me being the little disturber that I was, you fill in the blank, me being that, I wanted to test whether that was true. So I stood outside his room, waiting for the bell to ring, and then walked in. And this was the words that I heard from Mr. Fitchhugh. Bridges, you're late. SWAT or sentences? Take the SWAT. So the bell rang, and the whole hour, I literally almost peed myself. But the whole hour, I waited. Bell rang. I went out in the hallway. Class is dismissed. People are coming out of the room. I bent over, and whack it was. And so that was very true of Mr. Fitchhugh, that if you are late, you did get a SWAT. Seventh grade for me, there was two times I was in the principal's office. Now, I have to give you a backdrop. The seventh grade for me, between seventh and eighth grade, I went from 5'1 to the height that I am right now. Okay? So I was tall at one point, is what that means. And with that height came a lot of arrogance. Okay? A lot of arrogance in the sense of I was taller than everybody. Believe it or not, in seventh grade, I was the center on the basketball team. It's crazy to think about. And it might be some of the reason I stayed 5'9". Just throwing that out there. I believe that God probably was like, oh, you think you're cocky? Watch this. You're going to be short the rest of your life. But here's the grace. I'm going to have you marry someone just as tall as you so that your kids don't pass on that curse. Thank you, Lord. So two times in seventh and eighth grade, I was in the principal's office. One time because there was a kid in sixth grade when I was short that picked on me. And when I got to seventh grade and was tall, I made sure he never picked on me again. I was in the principal's office for that one. Eighth grade, I was student council president, and I had to go to the principal's office. And this was a moment that changed my life. When I got to the principal's office, he shut the door and he sat down. You know, there's moments in your life where you'd rather be hit and get it over with versus the 30-minute lecture. But for the next 30 minutes, this principal, who I knew was a believer, spoke things into my life that radically changed my life. And it was a moment where I listened to what he was saying. It was a moment where I realized there are some things that I need to figure out, and I can figure them out the easy way, or I can figure them out the hard way. And it was in that moment, as an eighth grade student, that I figured out I need to make some changes. And I say all of that to you right now because that's the journey I feel like I'm on at 43, where I feel like God is correcting some things in my life that need to be corrected, some things that I've seen personally that people close to me have seen personally, that I need to adjust and I need to change. And life can be easier. And life can be more hard. We get to make a decision in that. And this is what Solomon's talking about. I love that Pastor Mike Plain pointed this out last week. That he pointed out when Solomon wrote the books that he wrote. If you've ever read Song of Solomon, you realize, wow, that is a crazy book. It's got some crazy things in there. You realize, okay, young in life, those are the things that he's talking about. And when he writes Proverbs, as probably my age right now, middle of his life, where he's writing some things that he's learned some things, he's recognized some things, and Ecclesiastes, where he's walked away from some things. He knows them, but he's now not using wisdom in applying them, which is what this all comes down to, is am I applying the things that I know for my life, knowing that when I apply them, I benefit, but not just me, the people around me benefit. My family benefits when I'm the best version of myself. When I'm the dad and the husband and the friend that I'm supposed to be, everybody around me benefits. And when I'm not, it gets weird. There's tension. There's awkwardness. There's crazy that happens. And this is what he says in Proverbs 13:1. A wise child accepts a parent's discipline, and a mocker refuses to listen to correction. Not just a parenting standpoint, but from a standpoint of as a follower, as a believer, as a human being, how am I doing when it comes to listening to the advice of the people around me? When it comes to going on this journey, when it comes to messing up, when it comes to hurt and conflict and craziness of life, how do I adjust, or how do I turn, or how do I become humble in this moment? Because the only way I'm listening to any type of discipline, do you hear what he said? To parents' discipline. What has to happen for me to be disciplined? I got to mess up. And in my messing up, am I willing to be corrected? Now, one of the things that I love about Solomon is that Solomon quotes his dad David so many times in Scripture. And David learned differently than Solomon did. David learned out in the fields. The Bible says that David was alone most of the time because he was the youngest, because his brothers despised him, because he was good looking, the Bible says, because things just happened for David. So much that the Bible says that a bear came to attack David and he killed him with his bare hands. Now, I got to actually see from a distance a bear in Colorado, even though the park ranger said we wouldn't see the bear. We actually got to see the bear. There's no way in the world I'm chasing that bear down. Says he actually with his bare hands killed a lion. Why? Because he's out in the fields. He learns in the fields of hard knocks lessons. Solomon didn't have to do that. Solomon had the best education. Solomon was raised in the palace. Solomon was raised under this understanding of benefiting from David and benefiting from the faithfulness of David. Solomon understands that when he's talking, he's listened to his father who had to learn the hard way. He's come to this understanding that I may not have to learn that way, but my parents did. This is why it's so important as parents to tell your kids the moments you've messed up. Not to glorify it. Not to highlight it, not to mock it, not to say, yeah, look what a cool kid I was. Not to do any of those things, so that our kids will learn and hear and not have to go through what we had to go through. Not have to go through the consequences of what we had to do. This is why it's so important, and this is why I love what he's doing, what Solomon's doing. Listen, all children, every single one of us in this room, we will make mistakes. And the only way we get out of those mistakes is, are we willing to be corrected? Am I willing to be the person that hears the words, you're wrong here? You know, as a parent, as a coach, I know there's several coaches in this room, as a friend, I'm told a lot. Do you have a favorite child? Do you have a favorite player? Do you have a favorite friend? And I would say, yeah, I do. You know who my favorite player is? The player that shows up on time. The player who is coachable. The son, the daughter who are teachable. The friend who is faithful. See, I can't say I don't have a favorite one when that is the favorite one. That is the expectation versus the person that shows up late versus the person that isn't coachable, isn't teachable versus all that. This is what Solomon is saying. He's saying, if you refuse to be teachable, if you refuse to be coachable, chances are you're disrupting the rest of the team. You're disrupting your family. He's saying, those of you that are wise are the people that can be corrected. Let me say this. What if in eighth grade, during that office time in the principal's office, I scoffed at it? I mocked him. Would I figure it out as a freshman? Maybe. Would I figure it out eventually? Maybe. But when we say things like, I feel like I've been here forever, I feel like I'm going through the same things, maybe at some point it's not the things that are the problem. Maybe at some point it's us. Maybe it's me. And this is the hard look that Solomon is talking about. And he's asking us, how teachable are you? And then he continues and he says in verse 3, careful words make for a careful life. Careless talk may ruin everything. What is he saying? He's saying when you're corrected, what you say next matters. He's saying when you stand in judgment, discipline, things that you've done wrong, when you stand in that moment where you don't understand, in that moment where you don't get, what you say next really matters. We can see this all throughout Scripture. The best being Zechariah, who an angel showed up and said, you're going to have a kid. And his response was like, are you kidding me? I'm old and she is really old. That's what he said. He said, I'm old. She is really old. How am I going to have a kid? And for 9 months, Zechariah couldn't talk. God literally shut him up. And some of you are like, oh, I'm praying that. I am praying that. You know why that happened? Why did God shut his mouth for the next 9 months? Because God knew what we say matters. And in that moment, if you're going to speak negativity, if you're going to speak careless words, then I'm not going to let you talk. Why? Because what I say matters versus the same angel that showed up to Mary and said the exact same things. And she didn't. How is this going to happen? She says, let it be as you say. What if we became let it be people? What if we became people that speak life into situations, even in the moments of discipline? And this is what Solomon's talking about. What you say matters, not just when good things happen to you. What you say matters when discipline happens to you. Listen, if you have more than one kid in your house, I mean, there's a good chance one of them is really difficult to discipline. They kick, they scream, they refuse. You take a device away, 5 minutes later, they're asking for the device. What is that? They're not responding to correction well. And before we start going, yeah, that's my kid or that's that kid, you and I are the exact same way. Boss comes to you at work and says, I don't like how you're doing this and this. How do you respond to that? Your spouse comes to you and says, I don't like the husband or the wife that you're being right now. How do you respond to that? Again, it's what we say after the correction that matters. 14:3 says this, a fool's proud talk becomes a rod that beats him, but the words of the wise keep them safe. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, when you and I choose pride in the relationships that we have and with life that happens with us, a proud person chooses talk that becomes a rod that beats him. Now, I mean, physically, obviously, if I bring somebody up here and I just start hitting you, you understand that's not good. Even if I have no background in baseball, even if I've never even swung before, if I start beating you with this, at some point, it's going to hurt you. He's saying, picture that, and the words that you speak when you're proud is doing the exact same thing to the people around you. You're literally beating them up. with your words. And this is the principal's office moment that I've come to realize that God is trying to adjust. And this is the moment, you guys, where you and I have to come to this place. And Proverbs talks about this in the next 16 chapters, where it talks about you and I being men and women that choose our words wisely. He continues back to 13:10, because 13:10 and 14:3 kind of go together. Pride only leads to arguing, but those who take advice are wise. Or the NLT says, pride leads to conflict, and those who take advice are wise. What's he saying? What is Solomon saying in this moment? Who you associate yourself with matters. Who you hang around matters. He's saying, you associate with wise, it matters. He then goes into this moment where it talks about Solomon building this temple, and it took 7 years to build, 200,000 people to get this temple built, over $2 billion it cost to build this temple. It was the most extravagant building ever built to man, and there was not one time where Solomon did it by himself. There's not one moment where he said, I got all this figured out. I'm going to go ahead and take it. Watch. John Maxwell says it this way. With the people that you lead, it matters that when you leave them, what they do when you're gone. See, in everything I'm saying to you is so countercultural inside of us, because what we long for is to be needed and to be wanted. And so when we leave people, we want them to be worse because they need us. John Maxwell says that's not actually the case. That's actually a bad leader. If you leave them and they thrive, you've done well. If you leave them and they dismantle and life gets chaotic, he's saying, listen, you've built that on you. This is the moment where Solomon's going, I have to surround myself with wise people who will give me counsel, who will say, we need to do this, this, and this, and we need to do this over here, because Solomon, as wise as he was, he could not build that temple by himself. And whatever it is that you're building, you can't build it by yourself. This is why sharing and counsel is so important. But if we're not willing to listen, how will we ever learn? Listen, what stood in front of me a second ago was men who have way more experience than I do. And because of that experience, they got a lot of failure, a lot of mistakes, a lot of regrets, a lot of things they would do differently. He's saying, find those people who are willing to share those experiences and learn from them. Learn from that wisdom. He says, and the person that does that will become wise. Listen, every single one of our goals in this room as a parent, as a mom, as a dad, is that our kids are smarter than we were. That they go places farther than you and I could ever have gone. That is my goal. You think I want them to settle? I want them to forge ahead and to make their own mark. And to do their own things. And yes, there's a moment of letting go that has to happen. And that is the most scary part of being a parent. You've got to let go and let them figure some things out. It's difficult. And then you've got to walk alongside and say, do you understand what happened? And if they're willing to listen, we can move forward. And then we have to say, if you're not willing to listen in this moment, it's going to be difficult for you. It's going to be hard. Anyway, he continues on. He says this, short-tempered people do foolish things, and schemers are hated. He continues, people with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness. He comes back to this understanding of what I say and how I respond matters. To me, this is the whole book of Proverbs. The whole book of Proverbs is, how are we at responding to life in general? Right? Man, some of you Wednesday night, you knew how to respond. The Blues won. It was differently for other people, right? Some people, you see a commercial, you got chills because you've spent lots of money and you've seen lots of losing. So your response was totally different. Tears, joy, all of those things. Some of us we jumped on the bandwagon a couple months ago, right? And it was like, yes, this is awesome for our city, but okay. Some of us are getting tattoos, some of us are not. That's what that means. That's what that means. That's what that means. And it all comes down to, how do you respond to the things around you? And this is what Solomon gets into. He says, short-tempered people do foolish things. Here's the gauge of what he's wanting to say to us. He's wanting to say, how are you at responding? Again, look at this, the personalities in this room. Okay? The laid-backness, the personalities of quick-tempered, the laid back people, the people that have been raised a little differently. I mean, we got so many personalities right here. And when stirred, okay, the emotions and everything that happens, this is what comes out. There's some people that, man, I just admire you. You know, my prayer is every single day. It's the top of my journal. God, give me patience. God, make me a person that is quick to listen, slow to speak. It's my prayer every single day. You know why it's my prayer? Because I'm quick to speak, slow to listen. You know why I married who I married? Because she's slow to speak, quick to listen. My prayer every single day are different personalities. God, help me to respond. Some of you, you don't even have to pray that. It is who you are. It is who you are. Some of you are praying, God, help me to be on time. God, help me to be a person that even though I have nobody to get ready, help me to be on time. God, help me to be a person that has compassion on the people around. God, help me with my coworker. God, help me to be. We're praying so many different things. Why? Because every single one of us have to respond to something. And how we respond and what we say in that response matters. And this is what he's addressing. He's addressing those of you that have tempers, be short-tempered. Those of you that have anger issues, understand, people with understanding control their anger. He's saying, figure this out. He's saying, figure out how to be people that respond right. This is what he's saying to us. In the correction, in the discipline, in the best of times, figure out how to be a person that responds well. Colossians chapter 3, this is my last scripture for us today. It says this in the message. It says, so chosen by God for this new life of love, dress and wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline, be even-tempered. This is hard. Content with second place. Come on, somebody. Every competitor in this room is like, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, there is a formula to how you live this thing out. And the formula is what you put on and how you respond matters. And he says three quick things in there. He says, be even-tempered. Be even-tempered. You know what that means? Don't fly off the handle. You don't get to say whatever you want to say, even if it's true. You don't get to say it. What is the constant thing that I say in my car, especially yesterday? 13 hours with three kids. And the fourth kid is in another car, and he's the best kid. Like, he's the kid that's not going to say anything. What is the thing that I said the most? It doesn't matter to you. It's not about you. This doesn't involve you. Why are you even talking right now? I want to patent with all of my heart, not a step, but a word app. How many words can be spoken in one day? See, when this is going to sound really bad, but as the dad, and this is primarily when your kids are younger, and the mom is around the kids more than the dad, you go on vacation, it's a break for mom. Dad's there. For dad, it's like, anybody with me? I mean, you understand? So let us have a day, and let us do whatever we want today, all right? And some of you are like, you do that every day. What is it, though? It's the word of being even-tempered. It's the that we involve ourselves in matters that don't affect us. And what is that? That is us sticking our nose in the wrong things. And he's saying, here's what even-tempered is. You don't get to say whatever it is that you want to say. It means that we are to be consistent. See, this is one of my other prayers. God, would you make me consistent? That no matter where I am, it's me. That I'm not a chameleon just going with the flow, but I'm consistent. He then says, be content, which is defined an internal satisfaction which does not demand change in external circumstances. It is this internal satisfaction that no matter what happens on the outside, I know who I am on the inside. And because I know who I am on the inside, what is actually coming out of me is good. Which is what Matthew 18 is saying. Matthew 18 is saying that when situations change and your circumstances change, what is actually inside of you is what comes out. So if anger is coming out, it's because anger is in here. And he's saying, don't, be content. But godliness, Paul told Timothy, with contentment is great gain. He's saying, be content. He also said, you don't have to be first all the time. Gosh, but it feels so good to be first. What is that? It's a reality that there's going to be moments of winning, but there's going to be moments of losing. And I've learned you win or you learn. Those are the two choices. Because there's not a lot of learning in winning. There's a lot of learning in losing. You either win or you lose. Everybody in this room, we know what it feels like to win. He's saying, you respond well when you win. But how do we respond when we lose? Last, he said, be quick to forgive. He didn't just say forgive. He said these three things to the Colossian church. He says, be a person that forgives as God forgives you. How does God forgive us? This is an important question. This is an important understanding on our part. When I say to Jesus, will you forgive me of my sins? He forgives me in that moment. And so he says, you be quick to forgive as God has forgiven you. That's a game changer. He doesn't just say to forgive. We get all that. We understand in this room, I got to be a person who forgives. We get that. He says, be quick to do it. That's different. What is he testing in all of us? He's testing what type of responders we are. And what is important. See, if I'm just a person going, you know, one day I'm going to forgive that person, I don't get it. I'm not understanding. When I say, you know what, I got to do everything I can to make this right, it's totally different. Totally different. Totally different. Let's pray together. God, I pray that in this season, maybe of correction, maybe of rebuke, maybe of evaluation, where we're just evaluating how we're building our life, where we're just evaluating what are we building on the right foundation? Are we building a construction that is gonna fall when bad things happen, or when the wind blows, or when rains come, or how are we building this? God, I want to make a declaration today that we will be people that go through the hard things so that the godly things, the right things, will develop in us. So God, maybe we're in a season where we're asking hard questions, and because of the hard questions, we're receiving hard answers. Maybe we're in a season where we're coming out of this evaluation, and life is beautiful in this moment, and there's so much growth and there's so much wisdom. God, would you give us the strength to constantly apply our ability to that understanding so that we're not just people that know something, but we're also people that do things. God, help us to not just know, to be content, and to be people that forgive, but God, help us to be people that do that live that respond well to that in word and in action. God, we declare today that we will build our life on the promises of you. Would you help us and strengthen us today? In Jesus' name, amen. Would you guys stand with us and sing this chorus?
I will